Welcome to Croxley Green Baptist Church Sermon Podcast.
Right, well, Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Rest for your souls. I wonder what those words mean to you. I wonder what images they bring to you. I wonder what they mean, really. What do you think? Well, don't just look at me. Just have a chat with your neighbour, like I normally do. What do you think? What do you think rest for your souls means? What might it mean for you? What might make it attractive to you? Go and have a chat. So, what? Anybody want to share? I hope somebody wants to share. Peter, oh, I've got a microphone here. Just going to turn my lapel. So, Peter, we're on hand mic one, Steve. So, what is it? Rest for your souls, Peter.
Well, it kind of like brings like death, maybe. So, you try and live your life as best you can, but you've always got a second chance.
Great. Okay, that's really good. Thank you. Great. Good start. Emily, you got an idea. Rest for your soul.
I think it's sort of just resting and looking back on what's happened in your life and just being thankful.
Okay, so kind of reflecting and saying thank you for the things that happened in life. That's great. Good. Well done. Anybody else? Any other thoughts? No right or wrong answer. Just interested in what you think. John, no, don't shout. Don't shout. We need to use the microphone because it helps with the loop. John.
A sense of peace, even amidst the chaos of life, that everything else is still all over the shop, but when you rest in peace with God, it gives you that security, I suppose.
Okay. So. Thank you. That's great. Sense of peace in the kind of mess of life. I had a bit of I was talking about the mess of life yesterday with a group of Baptists that I was teaching, and one guy asked me a really good question, and so he came back during the tea break to ask me another question. I thought, he's quite bright, this guy. And so he must have some either scientific or theological training. So I said, where are you from? He came from Birmingham, but he was working in a church on the south coast in Lymington as a pastoral worker. And so I said, what's your background? He said, well, for the last 2 years, I've worked in an event coordinator for a company in Birmingham because I needed a job. Yeah. And he said, oh yeah. And before that, really, I was destroying my life with alcohol. So I said, so you know about God bringing order out of a mess? And he said, yes, he does. And I guess that he knew about something about rest for your soul. He knew something about rest for your soul. Any other thoughts about rest for your soul? Is it one of those phrases that, you know, we often read but we don't really think about? Yeah. Who wants to admit that? Okay, well, let's try and think about it a bit tonight. I mean, I wrote down a few things what rest for your soul might mean. I'm going to switch microphones now. I wrote down a few things what rest for your soul might mean. It might mean, might conjure up a picture of sitting by a pool in nice sunny weather or by a beautiful beach with palm trees waving in the background, leaving the strains and the stress of living far behind. How does that sound? Does that sound like rest for your soul? Yeah. Might be, you know, after a busy day at school or college and getting home and shutting your door and just having a cozy night in with the latest box set that's on Netflix or Sky or BritBox or something like that. Does that sound restful to some of you? Rest for your soul? It does. I can see some of you nodding. You'd long for those kind of evenings, wouldn't you? Or maybe it's about getting the latest, the best, and the biggest gadget or house if you want to think bigger and later in life. Then life would seem more content and you would at least be more in touch and know what's going on. Or maybe some of you are looking at going on that women's retreat weekend. I hear there's a bit of a spa there, at least a pool. So maybe some of you are fine. Relaxing in that pool. Never mind what the speaker says, just relax in that pool. That's rest for your soul. Or maybe tomorrow it's knowing there's a friendly face when you come to the food bank, offering you a cup of tea and a biscuit and a listening ear, as well as some food. Maybe that's rest for your soul too. Whatever it is, it conjures up an image of completeness and wholeness beyond this drive to survive, which is common to all life on the earth. But it speaks about a desire to thrive and to grow and to be complete. Maybe that's what marks us out as humans beyond all other life on the earth at times. Within religions and philosophy, the soul is that describes the kind of immortal part of who we are as human beings, that which continues on after death. It's hard to define, but it captures something and encompasses something of our character and our intellect and our attitudes. And if that's what we've got in mind by soul, then maybe what Peter says is right. Here Jesus is saying, you trust in me and you will find rest for your soul. Here is the promise of eternal life. Acknowledge me as Lord. Take my yoke upon you. That's the kind of sign of a yoke, was something you put on people's shoulders so they could carry heavy loads. Take my yoke upon you. Acknowledge me in this life and you will know true rest for your soul beyond this life. But I think Christianity is about more than getting into heaven when you die. And I think Jesus' teaching is very much rooted in the here and now. In the Old Testament, the word for soul is a word called nephesh. And it's translated in different ways. Sometimes it's translated soul or being. Sometimes it's translated creature. So in Genesis chapter 2, where God, it describes God making Adam, it says God formed Adam, and breathed into his nostrils, and the man, the Adam, became a living being or a living soul. Perhaps a more material view of what soul might bring. And rest for your soul, all those images I talked about earlier on actually speak about rest in ordinary life, freedom from the worries and pressures of life, liberation from what causes us to feel that we are lacking anything in life. The fact that Jesus invites us to know rest for our souls, even though we find it hard to understand, speaks to our desire and needs, the things that disturb us. The fact that he speaks about it says it's possible, because I don't think Jesus offers us what he can't deliver. And we want something. We want rest. We want more. We want completeness. We want liberating from the things that worry us and concern us. And the politicians know that. And so at the moment, they are making big promises of things that are going to bring you rest and peace and liberation. So the Conservatives and the Brexit Party, they're promising you Independence Day. That's about liberation, isn't it? And Labour, they're promising you liberation from austerity and social injustice in our society. And the Lib Dems, well, they're promising you liberation from Brexit. All trying to do each other about what liberation is and what will bring us rest individually and as a nation. And they promise to deliver it if we place themselves under their authority for the next 5 years. If we place themselves under their rule for the next 5 years, they will promise us this liberation and rest and a bright future. Now, this truth here, because the truth is that liberation comes not from throwing off authority, but liberation comes from accepting authority. Jesus didn't come up with the phrase, rest for your soul. He nicked it. He nicked it from the Old Testament, from Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. And there Jeremiah gives a challenge to the people of God in the Old Testament. He says, stand at the ancient crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for yourself. But you said, we will not walk in it. You see, if you want true rest, rest for your soul, you have to give up on your freedom. You have to give up on your freedom and place yourselves under God's leadership, authority, yoke. But that's not easy. People don't find that easy. Like these people long ago. You'll find rest for your souls if you follow my good way, God says to them. But they say, we will not walk in it. And yet, although we won't walk God's path to find rest for ourselves, we still crave it and desire it. And we try to find it. But we think it's better to do that on our own rather than accepting God's path and leadership and trusting him. So we think it's better to make our own choices in life. And maybe we make a bargain with ourselves that we think a little bit of disquiet in our souls is okay for the sake of being free. After all, life is not perfect. There's always a mess that we have to live with. And yet we're not truly free because there's always something more that we want. There's always something that we crave. We are always craving the rest that Jesus and the other ancient voices speak of. But it will always elude us because we're not looking in the right place. We're not looking to Jesus. We're not looking to accept the oversight of Jesus in our lives. Take my yoke and you will find rest for yourselves. You who are weary and burdened. So why would you do this? Why would you trust Jesus to do this for you? To bring you some peace and completeness in life, even if life is still messy and pressurized. Why would you do this? Why would you give up your freedom to do that? Well, I'm going to suggest three reasons why you might want to do that. Firstly, because this certainty in Jesus' words, he's not saying, maybe I'll do this. He says, I will do this. I will give rest for your souls. I mean, you can listen to the politicians in the next few weeks and they will tell you they will do a lot of things. But I've been around long enough, and some of you have been around longer than me. You know what it's like. They'll promise you the earth. And yet half the time that's not delivered. Their will is a may often. But Jesus says, I will give you rest. Come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Is that your experience of following Jesus? Not that your troubles and your worries are going to slip away. As I say, there's always a mess in life that we have to face. But knowing that Jesus knows about the mess, knowing that he has authority over our lives and death, knowing that all things have been committed to me by my Father, just knowing that he knows and trusting that he knows and has the power to do it, that can help us find rest for our souls, for our being. Why would you put this yoke of Jesus on you? Why would you let him be boss of your life? Because actually, his bossship over your life is actually softer than your strivings are. You can beat yourself to death trying to find peace in this life on your own. My yoke is easy and my burden is light, he says. Is that your experience of Jesus? Does it feel like that to you on the inside, or does it feel such a burden to follow the path of Jesus when other people aren't? But again, it's a promise. My yoke is easy, my burden is light, if you will walk my path and follow me. And then thirdly, because this isn't about rules and regulations, and that's sometimes why we make following Jesus so hard, because we think it's about rules and you know, keeping and living a certain way, ticking boxes of guilt and worry if we kind of slip off the path and go beyond the boundaries of where people tell us we should go. But no, that's not why this yoke is, this yoke is easy. Not that it demands a lot from us. But it's not about rules and regulations. It's not about guilt and shame. It is about relationship. It is about relationship. No one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son and to those who he reveals him to. And that's what Jesus came to do, to tell us what God is like, to show us what God is like, to invite us to enter into a relationship with God. You see, know, in the way it's used here, is not about information, and we're all bombarded with information that we have to regurgitate in tests and exams. Well, some of you do. I've left that long behind, thank goodness. It's not about information. And it's not knowing about God. This is about knowing God like you can know another person. This is about having an intimate relationship. See, Jesus and the Father, they knew each other intimately, perfectly. It's not something that we can do on our own. But it's something we were made to have. And that's something they invite us into. And this too can bring rest to our being, to our souls. See, rest comes from not through our own strivings, but rest comes through Jesus' invitation to share in a relationship with God, the one who knows you intimately more than you can ever know yourself. And he knows what you need to bring rest to your souls. But it's an invitation that you need to accept. And it's an invitation that you need to keep on accepting and growing in. Because in each phase of our lives, we need to know more of this rest for our being, for our souls, that Jesus offers to us. So is this something that you know, or something that you have known, or something that you keep on needing to know? It comes not from seeking liberty by feeding the desires that we have, because there will always be desires, and they will never bring you completeness. But rest comes from knowing the liberating God revealed in Jesus, in knowing that you are known better than you know yourself, from following his way and walking his walk. This is how we find rest for our souls, our being.